the reality is, nobody should be able to put you in a state. Nobody should be able to take your state away. You should be able to create it. And part of doing that is by changing your belief system and going down there and really doing this work.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. Welcome back, everyone. This has been a fantastic week. We've been doing week two of the Magnetism Challenge. So that means that this week we kept note of every trigger that was coming up for us, positive, negative, small, happy. And we had that incredible eclipse, new moon on Monday, which I don't know about you all, but whoa. I think I cried four times that day because so many stressful things were happening in my life, which on the grand scale, they're incredibly privileged. But it was like a flat tire. Every scheduling thing went wrong. And then the thing that's closest to my heart right now is we're remodeling our home in Topanga and I'm on a rush to get it done for this baby. And, you know, it's going to be our first family home and the place that we bring this baby home to, the place I'll be nesting in, especially for 40 days in bed post-birth, because I'm going to do the full Ayurvedic 40 days. And I think everything's going wrong with that and just having a lot of trouble and communication with the crew that's building. And yeah, I think I cried four times that day. And so I got on Instagram stories and, you know, it was really fun to have everybody share what was triggering because anything can trigger us. And I love this one DM that I received. It was a woman who gets triggered when she hears, and this is, I just want to point this out because I want to illustrate that everything always comes back to something. It's a clue that can help us find a block and unblock ourselves. So this is a great example of how something seemingly so superficial or not or abstract is still a clue for the blueprint to show us what's blocking us from our manifestation. So she got triggered or gets triggered when she watches commercials and she sees like big brands rip off big artists, music, and just make new lyrics. When she really rooted that down, she got down to this being taken advantage of and never seen in childhood. And it's so funny how anytime we have a reaction to something, and I like to use this example for people because positive triggers can be equally as big of clues for us, right? Like if we can't take a compliment, or if we see something really great for somebody else and we have that envy is just a clue that we're seeing our expander. So the goal of this week is to not let any of these triggers go by because they're always a clue. And like I said in last week, the moment that we consciously or unconsciously begin calling in a manifestation, it's already orbiting us. And the universe is so divine that it's mirroring to us using triggers to show us what is blocking that manifestation. Because three things have to be in motion: unblocking, expanding, and passing tests. That means the real life actions, you know, so you're passing tests, jumping off cliffs, clearing space, all of which we've been covering in this Magnetism Challenge, to prepare literally to connect with our manifestation in 2021, because you can manifest anytime during a pandemic, during literally the world melting down, you can manifest. And so that's what we're on a journey to do together. So this week, we really looked at triggers and we kept inventory of the ones coming up. It was really fun because this week we got to use the new daily practice filtration system, because now there's a system in there that you can filter based on the allotted amount of time you have, the trigger that's coming up, say fear, lack. If you're needing reinforcement for abundance, you're needing a confidence boost, you can choose what DI you're going to do based on that. You drop down the filter and you choose. And this week, we really focused on choosing based on the trigger. And it was so profound. And the biggest question I continue to get is it too late for me to jump on this? No, no, it's not. Start at any moment. This week has been a beautiful harness to start at week one again, if you're a week behind us, because with that eclipse and that new moon energy, what a profound time to cast your list, to understand your authentic code, to clear space. I mean, no, this beautiful portal we have right now, going into the beginning of the year with so much on our plates, from the pandemic to feeling alone to commercialism. I mean, there's just so much going on that we are going to have nothing but these clues, these crumbs, this roadmap in real time to unblock with, and through that process to expand, because there are many DIs for finding expanders, and also a test DI. So if tests are coming up, because remember, triggers can be test as well. So if you haven't jumped on yet, join at any time. Pop on this. It's been tremendous for the people who have fallen off track with the work, who have just needed a really guided schedule. You can find in the link below the Magnetism Challenge link. And if you aren't a Pathway member yet, we've got you. A lot of you asked if we could extend that Black Friday deal, and we did, because to me, the most important thing is that this is accessible. And if I can offer you a gift this season, it's to use the code all caps, magnetic 20, M-A-G-N-E-T-I-C 20, to sign up for the Pathway at the rate of $20 a month, which is a $7 a month savings, because it's usually $27 a month. And then that will, of course, equal 12 payments to $240 a year, which I just always like to put this out on the table for people. When we used to sell How to Manifest, our normal workshop, a la carte, that was over the price that you pay in an entire year to be in the Pathway. And that in the Pathway, you receive every one of our workshops and our class and all of the things. So yeah, if you aren't in the Pathway, you want to do this with us to connect with your manifestation in 2021. Use the code all caps magnetic 20 again to receive $20 off a month. You could totally jump on now, and you'll just continue the challenge in until it finishes for you in January. It'll be equally as effective, equally as powerful. Many people are still jumping on. And then you will get access into the member community group, where you will find other people who are just jumping on now too. Now, next week is going to be equally as exciting, because we're going to be looking at triggers, but this time we're going to be using it based on the allotted amount of time, because of course, the closer we get to holidays, our time gets limited. So looking forward to that next week. Definitely follow along on Instagram stories at @tobemagnetic, where you can find me usually daily talking about the challenge and really bringing us all together. And one other tiny tidbit, we will be putting out next week's episode on Wednesday, December 23rd, so that you have it all the way through the holiday. So really tune in Wednesday, December 23rd for a fun episode next week. Now, today's episode is really exciting. Today is with our TBM coaches. They've been incredible at helping this community navigate the work. And so we wanted to share a little extra support from their greatest teachings of this year. So they cover self-worth, identity, lack mentality, people-pleasing, attachment styles, discouragement, tests, and relationships. And they really go through the gambit of what they're seeing come up in their sessions and tips and tools of how to tackle it. So this episode is going to be so powerful, especially during this magnetism challenge. You're going to have 100 aha moments, and you're going to see how valuable having their perspective is. Literally, it's like they're teaching you in real time in this episode of how to approach this work, decode this work, and make your own process even more effective. I'm really excited for this episode. Let's tune in and hear what they have to say.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Expanded. I'm so excited today because we have been talking about doing this episode internally for a little while, and we really wanted to kind of pick the coaches' brains on everything coming up for them and all the insights they're getting and kind of what's going on and all the teachings. They all have so much wisdom and expertise in their own individual ways. And so today we're going to do a coaches' roundtable. Welcome, Atara, Heather, Amanda, and Salwa.
Yay.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, so let's just go around. I'm sure our community is familiar with you guys by this point, but just in case any new listeners don't know you guys or want to know a little bit more about you, let's just go around and introduce yourself and kind of talk about some of the topics or expertise or just a fun fact about all of you. So Atara, kick us off.
Hi, I'm Atara. I am a reflector in my human design, an Aries, and an Aquarius rising and moon. And I'm a coach here with To Be Magnetic. After doing the work myself for years, I was asked to come and join. And I focus primarily on reclaiming authenticity, self-worth, codependency, people who are having problems staying consistent with the work, and people who are having a hard time finding their personal identity.
Love it. Okay, and Heather.
Hi, everyone. I'm Heather. The only thing I'm going to give you fun is the fact that I'm a specific manifesting generator. I think that really plays into line with everything and how I really approach this work. From a high level standpoint, it all started for me last November when I went to the manifestation tour and got called up. It's been very kismet and magical ever since. I really focus with my clients on lack mentality, really up-leveling people's career, creating a personal practice, as well as staying in your magnetism.
Love it. And Amanda.
Sorry. Hi, I'm Amanda Blair. Having trouble with my technology. And a fun thing about me, I'm a quadruple Aries. Anytime I get my chart read, the astrologer is always like, whoa. And I'm like, I know. So that's fun. I am a relationship and manifestation coach for TBM. And I focus on relationships, whether that be someone getting into one, someone needing to kick out of one, someone wanting to deepen one romantically, or just deepen one with themselves. And then also in that attachment theory specifically.
Awesome. And Salwa.
Hi, everyone. I am a Leo. I was born in Uganda. And I like to say that I've been free falling with the universe ever since I was a young age, because my parents did leave me at like 2 to come to America for a long time. And I feel like as I continue to grow up, it's kind of been my superpower in terms of they were like the OG cliff jumpers, and I just like take after them. And I love to take a lot of risks and really challenge myself that the universe will always catch me. And I specialize a lot with my clients with people who are high functioning people pleasers, a lot of inner child work and getting people back into recognizing what their inner cry is to really bring them back to their authentic selves as an adult, and a lot of people who are emotionally avoidant.
Love it. Oh, I can't wait to dive in with all of you guys. And just so you all know, we have process episodes with everyone. So we will link all of those episodes so you can hear more about all of our coaches' individual journeys as well. So it has been quite a crazy year, and I kind of feel like it was such a sort of blessing that we were able to launch coaching during this year to help people get more support, especially virtually. So what are some themes that you guys have noticed have started come up for you with your clients, or even just maybe like friends or people in your sphere? Like, what are some of those big blocks that you guys are working through with your clients?
For me, I'd say the biggest theme, and I think all of us can relate to this just as people who are experiencing COVID, is people realizing that they have no relationship with themselves and that they don't know who they are or what they want with their life, because we've all been forced to kind of sit within our own space without any distractions. And, you know, while so many of us spent the beginning of COVID numbing, whether it was through food or drinking or whatever else, that only lasts for so long until you kind of have to start looking at yourself and realizing what you're not happy with. So that's been the biggest thing that's come up for me. And that thread has gone across like people's relationship with themselves, decisions that they've made in relationships or work or what have you. Yeah, it's been a very self-reflective time for everybody, I think.
And I would say, you know, to piggyback off of Tara, with COVID and quarantine and where that's left the financial status of the country, there's a lot of people in lack mentality right now. But there's also people thriving. I've got clients who are using the opportunity of working remote to really focus on what do they want to do in their career. In the last 3 days, I've had 3 clients quit their jobs, jumping off cliffs. It wasn't even planned. So it's been really magnetic, even for myself, listening to that. But again, it's been really around getting out of the lack mentality of, is this true to them? And taking the time to see, like, is this the career that they want to be in?
Absolutely. For me, what I saw a lot in the beginning of quarantine was a real, like, come to Jesus moment around relationships that clients had been in, and a lot of, like, dating kind of disaster type things, and a lot of frustration around, I've been doing the work for X amount of time. Why is nothing coming through yet? And that frustration around an impatience too. And then now, currently with clients, I'm in this really fun phase where all my clients are manifesting what they've been working on since we started working together. So now my calls are, like, really fun. Everyone's like, this came through and this came through and this came through, which has been really exciting to hear and for them to realize as well, because then they're building that deep trust muscle that even though the world has been insane and crumbling and just a crazy place, they are seeing the internal work that they can do to create what they're looking to create, no matter what's going on the outside. So that's been really powerful.
Oh, I love that. And I agree with everyone else. And I think a lot of my clients, it's come to the surface a lot, like they've over-identified with something outside of themselves. And especially with COVID and, you know, kind of having to redefine their clarity or where they are, and not using it as an excuse. I see a lot of, you know, my emotionally avoidant clients, and they're just like kind of doubling down in the beginning of like, oh, well, I'm just going to wait for this and this to end, or when COVID ends, quote unquote, and kind of using that as an excuse to not, like, reframe and know that they also still have the power to change and go deeper into themselves, and that it just looks differently. So people are getting really creative of what that looks like and how that feels and how they can really express it in the way that they can.
So Atara, it's kind of taking it back to you. One of the things that you had mentioned when we talked earlier of, you know, what kind of themes are coming up, you had mentioned that a lot of people come to you that have, like, inconsistency with the work. So what do you think causes someone to be inconsistent with the work, or even just in general, like not even just our work, but the self-help work in general, whether that's a meditation practice, an exercise practice, the TBM work, like, what kind of themes are you noticing around that? And, like, why do you think people have so much difficulty pushing past that threshold?
Yeah, and that threshold, it shows up everywhere, right? I mean, that even happens in our food choices, right? Or exercise, or staying in friendships we know aren't serving us. And the reality is, and I've said this a lot lately, so I'm sure I sound like a broken record at this point, but 88% of our mind is subconscious. 12% of our mind is conscious, and that's where we spend most of our state, and we think we have so much control. We intellectualize everything. We think we can figure everything out, but we don't understand the majority of the things that affect us are actually living in our subconscious. So it depends on our association. A positive association isn't necessarily a positive thing. It's just something that is known. So anything that is unknown to us in our subconscious is read as negative or perceived as negative. Even something, you know, with comfort eating, right? We can intellectually know, okay, I need to stop doing this. I have diabetes. My doctor said. But if really deeply ingrained in our programming, food was used for reward growing up, right? We celebrate with food all the time, or our birthdays, every time there's a holiday. If we weren't given love that we needed and we leaned toward food to ground us or to make ourselves feel whole, we have that so deeply ingrained in us. So that's what we reach to. So when we're going to change this stuff, that's why there can be such a huge disparity between consciously what we want and how we act, because that is so much deeper. So it's so important for us, in order to push through this, to really try and create new habits. And that can be really difficult, That's why everybody makes their New Year's resolution and then they're in the gym for 2 weeks and they fall off. So what I really focus on with my clients is before we even get into the major to be magnetic work, I use a lot more of the reinforcing DIs and I'll give people custom journal prompts so that we can start giving them an idea of where they're trying to go. And they can really visualize that to the point that it becomes so familiar that they start having a positive kinesthetic experience. So they feel like they're actually living that life because I have them do this every single day for weeks. And then that person starts slowly showing up for them and it gives them the motivation to actually take the actionable steps in their conscious state. And then in turn, they're willing to dive deeper and look at the other stuff.
I love that. And I think that's such a powerful tool for so many people to really cross that threshold and move over and give themselves space and grace to dive into the heavier stuff.
Definitely.
Shifting gears a little bit, Heather, so you had 3 clients quit their jobs this week.
Yes.
That is insane. So it's interesting too, because you also have had your own sort of career manifestations come through this year, whether that's, you know, starting coaching or things in your full-time career. What would you recommend is the best things to have in place? What is like a checklist, if you will, to know? I'm sure there's people out there right now who are thinking, oh, damn, should I jump off the cliff? Like, when is the time? What would you say things that you need to have in place when people know it's time to quit their job or if they should stay?
First things first is to get really clear on your authentic code. You know, this is really about your vital needs and what you need to feel the most alignment and authentic. So many people have jobs that are not in alignment with what they actually need in their life. So that's the first thing I think. Not only did I do for myself, but now some of these clients who are jumping off the cliff, it's because they're realizing that this job came from a lack mentality, or this job really came from, you know, what they saw their parents do or were told that they couldn't do. And so getting really clear on, is this job in alignment with you? You know, what are the joys that you're looking for? And going into unblocked money and getting really clear on your list. I actually have people make a specific and a non-specific list. I think it's really important to combine them. When they have their specific list, I have everybody add in the why and how you want to feel. So when they're looking for something to come through, if it's not on their specific list, but the same feeling is there, then we know that it is in alignment as long as it's been cross-referenced with their authentic code. So, you know, knowing when it's time to quit or stay, obviously Lacey always talks about the FU fund. We never want anyone to do that without that. But also being really clear on, does this serve me right now? And am I staying because of a lack mentality? Is staying keeping me small? Also looking at tests, is this job impeding on any type of boundaries? Does it make you feel like you're settling? Does it bring you guilt or shame? And so it's really almost kind of going through, you know, just like you said, Jess, like a checklist to making sure that what does this look like? And also, what do you want? And is this an opportunity right now where everybody's working remote, which has really opened up an entire different trajectory for work for those of us who are in corporate day jobs? You know, like my office is in Dallas and I live in California, and this has allowed so many people the freedom and the flexibility that is in alignment with their authentic code. So yeah, I mean, I think it's just getting really clear on, is the job that you currently have in alignment with what your needs are? And is this job, did you take it out of feeling like you have to follow someone else's footsteps or someone else's story? So is this job true to you? And I'm so sorry you hear Indie Girl in the background.
A dog manifestation come through this year.
Yes.
Okay. And Amanda, so you're kind of like our relationship attachment style expert. And so diving into anxious attachment first, diving into that, how do you see that present itself with some clients? And how do you sort of begin to navigate that attachment style? Like when someone first reads the book Attached and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm anxious. Like, what does that mean? You know, how do you first start navigating and working through that with your clients?
Yes, absolutely. So it can present in a lot of ways. And the most common ways that I'm seeing right now is
clients that are coming in who are dating someone and they're telling me, I've never felt this way before. We have this incredible bond and chemistry and oh my gosh, that there's fireworks. But the relationship is very up and down. There's a lot of drama. And at one point or another, their partner has said they don't want to commit. They're not looking for a relationship, et cetera. So that's kind of like that classic example. It's also showing up where my clients have either manifested a partner while working with me, or they have been in a relationship and their anxiety is getting triggered and they're feeling anxious within that. So for my clients that are dating and, you know, it's something where their partner is unavailable. And I do just want to make a point to say here that not all unavailable people have an avoidant attachment and not all avoidant attachments are unavailable. Just PSA. And it's really breaking down the situation for them and pulling out the truth that they aren't wanting to look at and looking at that over and over. So for example, the client that is, you know, dating someone, it's up and down and the partner has said they don't want to commit, it's bringing them back to that. But they have said this, right? And kind of looking at that truth. And it helps bring them out of that really floaty, like balloon phase and kind of puts their feet back on the ground of like, right, okay. And when their feet are on the ground again, we have a lot of room to work into. And I also love to help them really pull out the reasons why they want to look at this way, the programming they picked up, where this comes from, and the patterns that are repeating themselves from their childhood. And sometimes that pattern is really obvious. You know, it's like, my dad was unavailable, so I'm dating unavailable partners. But sometimes the patterns aren't so obvious and they're harder to see. And this is where I come in handy. I do see patterning very easily and quickly, which can be a fun party trick at times. And that's where I can, you know, I really help them see and navigate that. And then obviously give the roadmap into how to start to work out, and which is really individual with each client in the way that it's presenting for them. Because, you know, it's not just how they're showing up in love. Then we go through how their friendships are, how their work relationships are, how their family relationships are, how the relationship is to themselves. So it's a really in-depth process.
And I think it's so interesting right now because let's say you're in a partnership, right? And now you're living together and you're quarantined together. If you're avoidant, that might trigger up a lot of things because now there it feels like you're much more confined and having to confront or face that person, whereas before you had more physical space between the two of you. And then someone who's anxious attachment and they're, let's say, in a partnership but they don't live with their partner, that might be flaring up, you know, some of those, oh, but we usually spend this time together and blah, blah, blah. Like they don't have the same physical contact with the person. So I think it's a beautiful lesson from the universe to sort of look at those attachment styles, like as we're moving into different situations, living wise and physically.
Absolutely.
And then Salwa. So you said you have a lot of high functioning people pleasers. I love that term. So I feel like people pleasing and codependency really go hand in hand. How do you start to help some of your clients navigate noticing if they're exhibiting these behaviors, and how can they really start to unblock and kind of own some of those things? Because people pleasing, I feel like oftentimes it can be so discreet. You don't even realize that that's a people pleasing quality or trait or behavior. So how do you sort of navigate that?
Oh yeah, I totally agree, because I am and was very more than I am now high functioning people pleaser. And I even saw like a side of it that came up with my last current job. And I was just like, oh, wow, I had no idea that I was still on that loop. So, you know, codependency and people pleasing is really abandoning ourselves to be really deeply bound with someone else or something else. It's being the peacemaker, you know, mastering another person's emotions and well-being, which really just leads to slowly losing sight of our needs and our connection to our authentic selves. It can show up in, I mean, so many ways, but it can be, you know, fear of disappointing other people, you know, trying to foresee how someone may react to a situation or how your actions will affect someone else. And then using that kind of those assumptions and that fear as your compass of how you will show up and how you will perform, which is really dishonest and betraying your own authentic needs. It can be an urgency to help or to fix another person's issue, you know, shaping your life or your day, your thoughts, to please others, to keep the peace. Remaining neutral is a big people pleasing that I see in a lot of people, which is just like, no, not wanting to rock the boat. But a lot of times it can be really disempowering for the individual and having to take on all of that turmoil on yourself without actually having to speak up. And again, denying that inner cry of your inner child that actually has something to say, but is too scared that it's going to make someone else uncomfortable. It also comes out as like people always coming to you, right? Like, oh, I'm so good at helping everyone. Like, I make sure everything goes smoothly. Like, at work, people do this. Like, I'm always needed. Like, I put out this fire and this fire. And then it can turn into you're doing it before you're even asked to do it. So now it's also assumed of you. And then it's not sustainable because you're just over giving and reach a burnout and you're resentful. And then you become bitter. And if you're always over giving too, it's also a lack of trust, right? Because you want the control and you want to be the one to control the situation and the outcome and other people, because the opposite of that control is too hard to bear. So if you're really depleted and really resentful and you're feeling really underappreciated, these are all, you know, everything I list is a really good signs that you are codependent and people pleasing and overextending yourself and losing sight of who you are and what your real core authentic needs are. Like who is your highest self and how would they show up? But it's really hard to access that when you are constantly thinking and managing another person's life, basically getting like a PhD in someone else and not knowing who you are or what your needs are.
It's so interesting because I was doing a DI this morning and I had this memory come up when I was a kid and this really cool popular girl came up to me. Someone had started a rumor that I apparently wanted to date her boyfriend or something. And this girl came up to me and was like, I heard you want to date my boyfriend. Like, that's never going to happen. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You're so beautiful and amazing. I never said that. I didn't even know who her boyfriend was. And I was just so apologetic. And I think in the moment, I was so concerned with someone having the wrong perception of me that I bent over backwards to compliment and make her feel safe and secure and that she knew I saw her on a pedestal. And so my now integrated, authentic adult self is like, oh gosh, okay, like we could have handled this differently because there's so much like shame in doing that. There's an interesting thing in the people pleasing where we're both doing it to, you know, not make someone else feel bad, but we're also doing it because we can't bear someone thinking badly of us at the same time. And it's this interesting way to navigate where I was just so scared that she would think I made up this awful rumor. And so like my healing in the DI was to say, oh, I'm so sorry you heard that awful rumor. That's definitely not true. But I didn't go above and beyond to sort of suck up to her and put her on a pedestal and make myself small in order to validate the situation at hand. So how do you sort of navigate those sorts of healings or those sorts of dynamics?
Yeah, and just I love that example too, because I think saying sorry a lot is something I see with a lot of people and friends and clients too, which is just like an immediate apology for the smallest things, even just them being themselves. I'm just like, why are you saying sorry for that? Like, there's no need, but it's just like that preemptive having to appease someone else or to make sure that they are seen in a specific light. And to start unblocking this, I really start with helping people understand that this is a like a survival technique. It's making you feel safe in some sort of way, or the fear of being left or abandoned. And then to start taking inventory of yourself first. How often do you think of others before you think of yourself? Are you doing anything to meet your own needs? If and when you do you feel guilty? You know, where in your body do you feel it? What are you scared is going to happen? So really having people break down and giving them really strong journal prompts to first identify that within themselves, and then going into their authentic codes to really hyper and double down on what their needs are, because that is a version of their inner child and their highest selves. And then going back into the inner child workshop to see where they picked it up, because it most definitely stemmed from somewhere in childhood, and then start healing it from there.
Love that so much. And then, Atara, going back to you, like, this kind of goes into one of the themes that you were having come up, this sort of lack of identity and lack of self-worth that you're finding with a lot of clients or a lot of people. What are your findings on why you think so many people feel lost in their identity truly at any age?
Yeah, so just to extend on what you and Sawa were talking about, because literally people-pleasing is just a disempowered version of manipulation, where we are trying to keep things safe so that we're safe and people don't see things in us, or people don't, you know, see an insecurity that we're hiding, so we make ourselves overly available. And that does really come down to, with lack of identity and self-worth, that just literally happens from the time that we're born. Our relationship with our parents determines how we show up. So many of the people that I meet with, and in my life as well, had very narcissistic parents who made their children feel responsible for their feelings. So we tended to step into the role of the caretaker or the peacemaker in the house or the person who did all of the chores to make sure no one else got in trouble, right? But it was really to create a level of safety around ourselves as well. And that was the condition on which we received love. Then we were good as a response to that action. So as we grow up, we tend to perpetuate that thing because it becomes our survival mechanism and we don't even realize how deeply rooted it is. And that's why we start feeling resentment for people who, you know, they're so free or they're this or this person's overly confident and it makes us feel insecure because we don't understand why we can't be that way. Or if someone's even more relaxed in their position, we're like, oh, or they're not doing a good job because they don't do A, B, and C like I do. But it's really the fact that it's just mirroring back how hard we're trying. So it's so important for us to go back to that root and to allow ourselves to be seen for just showing up as we are without having any conditions around it, because we really need to build that up from the inside out so that we can be stable where we are now. Because essentially what we're doing is, so many of us who are lacking identity, self-worth, are people-pleasing, are in codependent relationships, we tend to intellectualize our own emotions and keep them down. And we go to help everybody else, and we receive value as a result of that. And so our value is always coming from something external. So essentially, we're looking for something outside of ourselves to reparent us and to see our inner child and make our inner child feel good in the way that we were made to feel as a child, right? But the reality is, nobody should be able to put you in a state. Nobody should be able to take your state away. You should be able to create it. And part of doing that is by changing your belief system and going down there and really doing this work.
Amen.
And then Heather, I think this kind of parlays a little bit in that same lack concept of identity and self moves into lack mentality in general. And you think of lack mentality and you think, oh, lack mentality in money, but it's a lot broader than just money. You know, you can have lack in basically feeling like you're lacking anything in your life, whether that's in relationships or, you know, abundance. So I imagine so many people have dipped in and out of this lack mindset over this year. How do you start by tackling to unblock the lack mindset?
Well, the first thing I ask them is, have they personally experienced the lack? Sometimes I have to pinpoint like, oh, you're in a lack mentality. But most of the clients coming to me already recognize that they are in lack, which is really helpful. So that, you know, they're coming to talk about, you know, a certain situation or an overall concept and theme. And I always asked, well, have you experienced that? I know that you felt it and I want to honor that. I'm holding space for the feeling of lack, but have you personally experienced lack? Or are you just holding on to the story of what you saw, whether it was your mom or your dad or any of your caretakers? And, you know, I love when we're coaching because it's over Zoom. So you can see someone's face go, oh my God. Some people have not personally experienced it, right? And it's just a story that they've created, which I personally can also attest to. So, you know, once we recognize if this is something they've personally actually have gone through, or, and if they haven't, then I ask them, do you have everything that you need right now? And again, it's just this idea of the checking in, of asking yourself, is this true to you? Have you personally experienced it? I'm using the word experience because a feeling can feel very real, and I don't want to discount that. And that's really helpful for people to hear the difference between feeling and experiencing, because they're two different things. you know, and we also kind of talk about like all of the areas, like Jess, you just mentioned, and I know that we've kind of all touched on lack mentality, that yeah, it's not just with abundance or what have you, it's the feeling of going without, right? Like a void, a hole. And so sometimes I'll actually have people make categories. What are all of the areas that you feel lack in? Food, exercise, you know, a lot of it is around pleasure and joy, right? And so then I ask, who else had this? Who are you marrying? Where is there projections going on? And so we kind of like do a drill down. It's almost like as if we're doing a deep imagining, like live while talking. And I guess really that's what coaching is all about, is asking the questions and getting to the deep root. And so, you know, a very quick answer I would say is starting to decipher, is this true to you? Have you experienced it versus felt it? Who else have you seen experience this? What are the different categories that you're doing it in? And then can you really decide, like, is this my story? Do I want to own this? Atara, you mentioned, you know, all the reinforcing DIs, and I love now in the daily practice that it's been taken out. And so the last couple of days, I've really been having people do the reinforcing abundance DI. Also the prosperity, right? Like, what do you have now versus what you don't have? And so many people are like, you're right, I do have everything that I need. You know, and when we're talking about lack, we also talk about, is this coming from a place of desperation or control? How are you trying to control the situation? So it's really about deciphering, where is this root and how can you carry on with your own money story, which is what's so great about Unblocked Money, is creating your own story versus carrying someone else's that you personally have never experienced.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest, to begin. We have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, Unblocked Inner Child and Unblocked Shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money. But the real gem is the Pathway membership, because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least 3 times a week to daily, in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones. You can use our special code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase or $20 off your first month of the pathway. Again, that's all caps, EXPANDED, EXPANDED. Okay, now back to the episode.
You mentioned that people are having a lot of boundaries being crossed around this time of year. What boundaries are you finding that people are having the most difficulty with, whether that's verbal, energetic, actionable? Where are you seeing those limits being pushed?
Well, we've kind of already touched on it with people pleasing, and that's what I'm seeing. So when we think about people pleasing, it actually touches on all of them, verbal, energetic, and actionable. And so what I'm hearing from people is feeling like, because we're going through into the holidays of, you know, if someone is feeling emotional, they're willing to put someone else's needs before theirs. You know, if someone needs them to do something with money, which is, you know, we forget that there's a financial boundary that can be crossed. I think that that's something that a lot of people don't really pay attention to. And so especially with holidays, people are feeling like they have to put themselves in a financial situation that's not ideal, which is crossing their own boundary. And then from an energetic perspective of people thinking like, you need to go to the holiday dinner or feeling bad because of COVID in quarantine and you don't feel comfortable and someone is making you feel bad. And so the people-pleasing tendencies come through because you don't want to feel rejection or abandonment, especially going through the holidays right now. So it's just it's a combination of everything, which in general with COVID and quarantine and the holidays, there's a lot going on. And so we really try to have people like Atara get very clear on the reinforcing side, feeling good. I know that Sawa really likes the magnetic self DI. And so really seeing somebody be their magnetic selves and being able to set that boundary. Also always going back to the authentic code. How are these boundaries affecting your authentic code? Can you use that to stand true to you and your needs? And you know, the last thing I would say is, and this is hard for people, but when you choose you, everybody else follows. And so it's like you're setting the standard of how things are going to go. So you're creating those boundaries. That doesn't mean you're standing from the rooftop and saying, I've got these boundaries set. It's people who are going to mirror you. And so if you can change your energetics, then it's definitely going to be helpful in creating your own little armor.
I even think it too with the holidays, you know, it's also a big gift giving time of the year. And there's always an option, I think, every holiday to do a, you don't have to buy the expensive things. You can make a gift, you can do all these other things. But I think it presents a new challenge this year, especially if you don't live in the same city as your loved ones and aren't going to be spending the holidays with them. So whether that's having to ship a gift or send it through the mail, what does that look like when you're on a shoestring budget, you know? And so these are sort of some new things that people are going to be crossing over into this year and really standing in their worth and saying, okay, am I going to overexert myself and overspend just so people feel loved by getting a gift? Or can I work on the boundary here, deal with the energetic, deal with the people pleasing and say, look, I can only do this year. It's a difficult year for everyone. I love you so much. Here's all I'm able to contribute, you know, and feel okay in that.
And to piggyback off that, Jess, is like, that's like, you know, your energetics going into it is like, if you have shame telling somebody that, the way that they were going to respond is based on your energy. But if you can get really clear and feel good and at peace with that, people respond to you in the way you present yourself, again, from that energetic root. And so with you saying that, it, like if you were to tell somebody, you know, I miss you, I love you, I'm so sorry we can't see each other, and when we can again, we're going to do these great things, etc. But coming from a really place of compassion and grace for where you're currently at, you know, we need to give people more credit of being able to respond to how we're showing up.
Yeah, definitely. And that kind of goes into perfectly, Amanda, you know, how are people dealing with guilt around this time of the year? And while they're even, you know, growing their self-worth and becoming more securely attached, how are people able to navigate this feeling of guilt, really?
Yeah. So a lot of my clients, as they start working out of that insecure attachment, they're experiencing a lot of guilt. And I see it around mostly them feeling guilt for something that's really popping up a lot, which seems silly, but using magnetic parents when reprogramming versus their own. And I think that really ties into they felt so responsible for their family's feelings, just like Atara was speaking about earlier. And they carried that weight for so long that when they want to start doing something and taking ownership of the experience and doing the healing work that they need, they're having that block of like, oh, that would be wrong, because guilt is I'm doing something wrong, whereas shame is I am wrong. And so they feel that they can't do that because there's also that underlying, I'm not worthy of that. I also see a lot of guilt for my more anxious clients. And I mean a lot around learning to set boundaries, and especially with unavailable partners. There are some cases where I will encourage a stronger boundary, whether that's like a block on a phone or blocking on social media. The first response that I always get is like,
I could never. That's so mean. How rude. Oh no, they'll think I'm a bitch. No way. Right? And we have to really work through all of those layers of guilt of why do you think that by you setting a boundary, that's communicating anything about the other person? Because it's absolutely not. A boundary is just saying, hey, this is the way I'm going to protect myself. It has nothing to do with the other person. When we're manipulating, then we're saying, hey, you need to do X, Y, Z, and we're trying to control. A boundary is the exact opposite. It's, this is what I'm going to do, right? It's taking ownership. So it has nothing to do, for that instance, if you're blocking someone, with being mean or saying that they're not a nice person. No, you're just saying, hey, this situation has become unsafe for me, and I haven't felt safe from you. So I need to make sure that I have a stronger boundary in place here so that I can continue to feel protected, right? And when we're able to really start to work through that guilt around that, which is digging into inner child and really working through the layers of that showed up in childhood, which is why it's really helpful to do the one-on-one coaching, because I go through all these instances through how did this feel in childhood? How did this get represented to you? How did they communicate, you know, this, so that we can kind of look through and find all of those little pockets of when they were taking on weight that wasn't theirs. And 90% of the time, that's so much weight and they're unaware of it. So it's really helping them get that awareness first and foremost, and then doing that beautiful reprogramming work, and then following that up with that conscious action that's then going to reinforce all of the new neural pathways that they're laying down through the reprogram. And I think that conscious action is such a key component, because if you're doing the reprogramming work, so you're laying down those new neural pathways, but you're taking action that's reinforcing those old limiting beliefs, you're strengthening those old limiting beliefs and letting those new neural little pathways that are not strong yet kind of wither away quite easily. So we have to do that work to really consciously reinforce those so they get stronger and stronger, and there's more ease involved with taking that new action, because it will feel uncomfortable at first and clunky. And we wrote a beautiful Instagram post on the brand's IG about that, about why it feels that way. So that's how I help them dig through that.
And then to kind of just piggyback on that, you know, do you find that when they're facing the guilt, that often it goes hand in hand with a grief process?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, yes. So there's always grief to be felt through that experience, because when in childhood, when they were having to take on the responsibilities and the weight of someone else's feelings or the peacekeeping, like, you know, Sawa and Natara and Heather have all spoken about before, which I know we've all seen this with our clients because it's so rampant, they didn't get to process their own feelings. And so much of the time, I see this a lot with more of my anxious clients, is they, in those little bodies and those little child selves, they couldn't feel the depth of the pain of not having consistent attunement, not getting their needs met. And so that gets kind of not dealt with. And then when we get into adulthood, we need to really allow our adult selves to feel and fully process that pain, to grieve it, to grieve for our little kids that didn't get what they needed, so that we can move out of that pain place, out of that fear place, out of that lack of wholeness place, and step into our healing, step into wholeness, step into integration.
And then Sawa, kind of moving into, you know, back to the attachment styles and people pleasing, we had this question actually come up and supported, but essentially, how does someone know if they are being avoidant to a situation or that they're having a strong boundary? Because I think oftentimes, if you really don't have a deep connection with the self, it's sort of this confusing middle line between having, you know, a strong boundary, or they're just putting up a boundary as an emotional wall, as Atara said in our supported. I guess, how can someone tell, or how can they check in? Are they being avoidant, or are they having strong boundaries?
Yeah. And I mean, everything we've been talking about, especially you, Amanda, just now with boundaries, is so spot on. And also the new boundaries workshop is amazing. I love it so much. And so again, boundaries is a way to protect our authentic selves and not sacrifice, you know, our needs, our non-negotiables. It's a way of saying that we are valid. My needs are valid. I choose what to allow into my life. I say that I am deserving and I create identity with myself and not something outside of myself. And boundaries are a way of honoring our inner child as our adult selves, right? It's our opportunity to be like, oh, these are my needs. This is what I choose for myself. And I'm allowed to draw those lines in the sand for what's best for me and what expands me as opposed to what shrinks me. And avoidance, it can look like not wanting to draw boundaries and turning away. So we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we have to speak up out of fear of, you know, letting someone down, being rejected, kind of sort of like that people pleasing energy again. And it also looks like creating a wall and not wanting to go deeper into a situation. I think it's funny because if you don't have boundaries at all, and then you are overexerting and then you're burnt out and you're resentful, it can also turn into avoidance where you're just like, I'm not dealing with anything. I'm turning away. I'm not dealing with anything at all. And then for me, it's really shown up in terms of I'm going to avoid my emotions and I'm going to avoid deeply connecting with someone else and actually speaking up for myself. And then that's creating a wall and I'm robbing myself of the opportunity to go deeper. And then I'm robbing the other person the opportunity to meet me at my highest self and to meet me at my needs and seeing where that goes. It's like a wall. I'm not facing this. I'm looking away. I'm not taking ownership versus I know what I want. I'm anchored in my needs and my authentic self. And this is the line that I'm drawing in the sand. So people know that this is where my worth is and that you're not going to be able to impede on that. And I think a really good example too is similar with the holidays and boundaries around money and not spending, one way to be like, okay, being radically honest with where you are financially, like this is my boundary of what I can spend, what I cannot spend. But avoidance would be like, I'm not facing my finances. I don't know what's going on, shielding my eyes. I'm going to swipe my card. I'm just like not even going to deal with it. You know, so avoidance can come in that way too. It's like you are just looking away. You're not actually going into what's the root causes, what you're feeling, what your needs are, and what you really need to face in order to grow. You're just turning away and pretending that it's not there and that everything's okay.
That was a really good distinction. Let's pop into some questions from our members. Okay, this one's on discouragement. Can you explain the energetics of going through discouragement? As an entrepreneur or working through being seen, I feel that throughout life, it's natural to hit major times of discouragement and self-doubt when things don't work out right away. But there are so many stories of those who push through and with patience and persistence, it worked. How do you know when it's the right thing to persist or to realize that it's not the right path and to make a shift?
Okay, so with discouragement, the thing that I always want to point out to people is, and it goes back to literally what is known to you. When we're trying to do a new venture, what happens is we have this idea, but then all of our programming kicks in based on everything that we've experienced, right? We run all of these ideas through all of the meta programs, which are basically like our software based on everything that we've been told our whole life, from the language, memories, values, beliefs, attitudes. And so things start to fizzle out. What happens is there's a filter that we call, it's a directional filter. And what that looks like is on one end, you have someone who is seeking success. They're seeking something positive. And on the other end, you have someone who is trying to avoid something or run away from something. As human beings, because of our whole fight or flight, the way that we've developed physiologically, we tend to be harder wired 4 or 5 times harder to run away from something than we do to seek something. So our brains are lazy. And that's also a great example of why when someone is rock bottomed, they get all of this motivation to do something because they're like, oh shit, I don't want to go to that place. We get this big gust of energy to then go toward a goal. But why expanders are so magical is because basically we get to see ourselves through our expanders. So instead of just, you know, obviously following them and learning about their story, really try and get into their head. And I like to really immerse myself. If I have a new business venture, if I'm, even this was a huge thing for me. So like speaking with Amanda when I first started was really expansive for me, and Heather, and getting to talk with you, Jess, and then getting to talk with Lacey, and just us discussing things. I really connected with the people who are around me to see like what motivates them, how they go about doing things, how do they feel in these situations, and not just look at it at face value, because that really helps you shift from that thing of, oh, I'm doing this because I'm afraid I'm going to be broke if I don't do this, versus I'm doing this because I really believe in it. So look at the people who have achieved the goals that you're looking to achieve yourself and really see about what motivates them. What is their inner dialogue? What is their inner story, their inner narrative? What are they looking for in themselves? Where are they when they're creating an opportunity? What do they think about? What do they see? Because it's probably very different from the story that you're telling yourself. That's just a great way to push through.
First of all, I love all of that, Atara. Thank you. That was beautiful. I feel like I learned some stuff out of there myself. In this question, what I hear is it's working through being seen. So that's something I can really resonate with myself. And what that comes down to is you need to choose yourself and you need to see yourself. So what are you doing in terms of this work that really lights you up? Is it in alignment with your authentic code? What are you working on that you find fascinating? And what do you just love about it? And when you start coming from the place of what is it that excites me about what I'm doing, and you start putting that out or going down that route in whatever that looks like in the work that you're doing, that's when other people will see it, because the magnetism of you just doing what interests you is huge. When you're just really focused on, I'm doing what this feels good for me. And that's how I started doing all of this anyway, was just really focusing on what felt good to say, what I believed in, and putting it out there. And then people were like, hey, that sounds cool. But it started with me really tuning into that first. And then obviously you're going to experience a lot of setbacks or something not working out. And that's just kind of the name of the game. But you have to let yourself grieve and really feel when there's a disappointment. So the way you feel is hand on heart, close your eyes, ask yourself how you're feeling, and then let that be a somatic experience. Do the best you can not to put thought or story to it that's engaging with the left hemisphere of the brain and actually suppressing your emotion. And you want to let it be just felt so that you're allowing it to move through you and out of you, and you're getting back to that rest and digest place in your nervous system versus that fight or flight, something's wrong and you're stressed. I also want to say there's so much surrender when you're getting into the flow of what you're aligned with doing. And surrender can sound like, oh, that's giving up or it's doing nothing, but it's actually not. What it's talking about is that you're not trying to force something and you're not trying to control something, because the how something happens and the when something happens is not our business. That's the universe's business. What our business is our why, and making sure our self-worth and our deservingness is in alignment with whatever it is that we're calling in or working through. So when you're in the control, you're trying to get into the universe's business, right? The how something's going to happen, the when. And when you get into surrender, you're really focused on your business, that why, and digging into your self-worth and making sure that's getting into alignment. So the more you start working with those energies, the more ease and flow you'll experience.
And can I just hop on too, because that was amazing. As Amanda said, don't get discouraged with setbacks, because failure is a state of mind. Failure is not a true thing. So if you can look at this journey that it's not failure, it's feedback. Be able to really use your senses to assess, okay, this was my goal. What did I learn? This didn't work. Okay. And then you have to have a certain level of flexibility to be like, now I'm going to try this to move past this thing. And then wait and see what the feedback is from that when you go. That's just a way for you to continue growing, because otherwise you just so easily fall back into your old ways of thinking. And you literally, your brain is changing as you are changing. So it's so important to check in with yourself, to be flexible, and look at everything as an opportunity for growth, even if it feels like a setback.
Love that.
It's not failure, it's feedback. That's a great quote. I love that one. Okay, next question. I'm calling in a bridge job and getting a lot of tests around money. I'm getting put in situations where I'm expected to pay more than I expected, which makes me anxious, or get told how it is and it feels like it's too late to do anything about it. I'm struggling to find a way to feel empowered and in my worth when reprogramming these situations, when it feels like it's too late to do anything.
So the first thing that calls out to me is the word anxious. That tells me that you have a lack mentality, because otherwise you would feel calm about paying like what's owed and like what's needed. And then next, the word too late. This sounds like you kind of have almost given up. You're playing small with your voice and being able to ask, are there options? other ways to negotiate. Like, in my mind, it's never too late for anything, right? And so it's really feeling confident and empowered in if you feel like this isn't true, because a part of this question says, get told how it is. And again, it's like, feeling empowered to be able to say, well, hold on a second, you know, what does this look like? Can we talk about this? Is this true? So I always go back to, is it true that it's too late? Is there room to negotiate? Now, for the last part of this question on really like feeling empowered and in your worth, you know, there are ways to feel magnetic, which then makes us feel in our worth, which would be saying no and setting boundaries, which in this case could be a financial boundary, jumping off cliffs, surrendering, and following ping. So my suggestion is to really step back to look to see, like, are you playing small in any situation? You know, where's a lack mentality coming through about feeling anxious? Is there any room for you to use your voice to set a boundary, to say no, et cetera, which is going to make you feel empowered? That would be my advice around that.
I totally relate to this question, by the way, because I've definitely been there and felt anxious about money or a big bill or something comes through and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to pay this? And I think a lot of it is kind of what you were saying, Heather, of just really getting clear on what are the facts. Do I physically have the money in hand that I'm able to pay this? If not, how can I cope? How can I deal with it? And I think our reinforcing journal prompts would actually be really helpful in the new daily practice.
Definitely. Yeah, reinforcing abundance would be really great to go with the questions.
Definitely. Okay, and then this one for all of our people who are dating out there, just not that into you. In terms of just not that into you early on, first few dates, should you give the benefit of the doubt, or how many times should you give the benefit of the doubt if someone tells you they have a busy week and is taking days to get back to a message? Or do you just walk away at the first sign of it happening? It takes 30 seconds to respond. No one doesn't have that. Salwa, why don't you kick us off here?
Yeah. So in this question, the first thing that jumps out to me the most is that this person is really, really concerned with the other person and their behavior. And I want to ask this person, like, are they focusing on themselves? And also, is the other person actually showing up for them? And how are they showing up in this dynamic? Because there's not like a set amount of times of like giving someone the quote unquote benefit of the doubt. And that fear also tends to dissipate when we are truly thriving and actually living our lives and knowing what we want and that we're showing up for that, taking aligned action with that. What we're looking for in the other person is how are they showing up? Because I mean, I think we've all been in situations where we're texting back and forth and they can respond right away. That doesn't mean that they're showing up for my needs or what I'm looking for in a partner. So it's really like, what is the other person doing? And what are their actions that correspond and align with what you are calling in? Are you speaking up for what you're calling in and really being tall in what you're asking for? Or are you giving them excuses and kind of waiting around? Like, this question really feels like they're waiting around for this person to show up. And how long do they have to wait in order to get what they want to, in order to move on? Amanda, what pops up for you?
Well, Salwa, I love that. I also love, you know, you tuning them into them paying attention more to the other person's behavior. So I want to say, if you're looking to call in short-term dating, so you're looking more for dating experience, you haven't been in a relationship before, or you haven't been in many relationships before, and you're looking to gain that experience, then you can have a little bit more leeway and playroom depending on if it feels like a red flag is popping up, then obviously always walk away from those. But if someone is, you know, they break a plan but reschedule with you and you're like, okay, cool, yeah, like that seems fine, work with that. But if you're looking for a relationship, you've already had your dating experiences, you know what you want, that's when it's time to really get serious and say no to anything and everything that is not exactly what you want. And the difference in that, when you're getting your dating experience, you're really figuring out what works for you, what doesn't, what you like, what you don't like. So there's more room in there for that navigation and to get that information in. When you have that information, that's when you go, okay, I know exactly what I want. I've done my 10,000 hours in dating. I'm an expert in what I like now. So I can say no to anything that isn't that. This can also sound like a but maybe disease when we know what we want and we're looking for a relationship. We can get into like, well, this is happening, but maybe. And that's always a really dangerous place to be. Pay attention to how the person is showing you how they're showing up. So if they are breaking plans and they're not automatically saying, hey, I can't, something came up, it's really serious, and let's do Tuesday instead. You know, so things do happen. They're just like, oh, you know, it's like 4 o'clock, you're meeting at 6. And they're like, oh, I can't, sorry. That's showing you there's not a lot of integrity there. So that would be a no, walking away from that. Don't but maybe that person. So it's really, I think, a lot of what you're looking for and then really being in your worth for those, both of those two situations.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I love what both of you said. And I think too, just really remembering that judge someone by their actions, because a lot of times, especially in the early stages of dating, if you just say, but they said they were going to do this and their intention was this, and they explain away their actions, but their actions really are the thing that's going to tell you, you know, how to navigate and move. And so at least for me, that's always, when I was in the dating world, the actions was always, okay, the truth of the situation is with how they're showing up.
Yeah, there's this, I don't know where I saw this quote, but I thought it was amazing. And it said, listen to their words, hear their actions, because the actions are going to really give you more information on, is this person what you're looking for and are they aligned? Words are so easy. Action is so much harder. And you want to look for that integrity. Are their actions backing up their words? If yes, cool. If not, nope.
Love it. Okay, not motivated by money. What are the energetics behind not being super motivated by money in career, therefore struggling to transition to actually make money in the space that I am more passionate about? I don't have a strong desire to make 6 figures a year, but I know that I want to be my own boss and find meaning and purpose in my career. I've never had a problem with money, no debt, and live in alignment with my authentic money code. How can I open a new money portal in my desired industry when I don't seem motivated enough to actually do the work to be an entrepreneur?
So the first thing I want to say is, this is amazing. The fact that you've never had a problem with money, no debt, you live in alignment with your money authentic code, like, I want to acknowledge that, and I hope that you can celebrate this, because it's all of the little wins that add up to big things. So that to me, as soon as I read it, and I just like, wow, this person, there is magnetism here. Now, where the magnetism is lessening a little bit is because this feels like you're trying to be someone, meaning an entrepreneur, when it doesn't sound like it's in alignment. You know, when you get clear on what you want in a career with your list and how you want to feel, it's all going to come together. You know, it just doesn't sound like being an entrepreneur is something that is being called to you, which is totally okay. I always go back to my own story of, you know, I've been in corporate wellness for the last 10 years. I do not have a desire to be an entrepreneur, and I am fully okay with that. And so it sounds like maybe in here somewhere you are trying to force, or you feeling of like, I should do this. Go back to the DI around clarity and get clear on, do you actually want to be an entrepreneur? And also when it says in here, like, this person doesn't have a strong desire to make 6 figures. Well, whose number is that? Like, what does six, you know, everyone has a different number that's going to make them feel safe and secure. And so the fact that you don't have a desire, I think that that's you being clear on that. So again, this just kind of feels like a forcing situation where that isn't really actually aligned to you. So for your question around like, how do you open up a money portal will come naturally when you find what you're truly called to do. This feels a little bit like forcing, a little bit of a sense of control. And so, you know, kind of like dog paddling and feeling like you should be doing something that really isn't aligned to you. So I would have you get really clear on, what do you want? How do you want to feel? And maybe that is actually working for a company, you know, but excelling. That doesn't mean settling for a company, but you know, getting really clear, because it doesn't really sound like being an entrepreneur is motivating you, and that is perfectly okay.
I always think back to this. We always have to strive to have more money and this and that and success and blah, blah, blah. And being an entrepreneur means that you can make a lot of money. Being an entrepreneur is hard work. Starting your own company is a lot of work, and you are so glued to your company in so many facets and so many ways, including when the company is doing well or not well, meaning that just because you're an entrepreneur does not equal six figures a year, even if, you know, you excel to the highest level, because it's usually pretty unstable, especially the first few years. So I think if you are looking to be your own boss and find meaning and purpose in your career, and money is not a driving factor, you can start to take autonomy over the sector of the industry that you do have meaning and purpose in, but maybe don't have that as your full-time career. Maybe have a job that supports you financially, that is just, you know, kind of your bridge job, and then whatever motivates you to do on the side in addition to that, that's where you can sort of get that motivation. And you'll know, like you'll know, or if you're not moving forward on something out of fear, or if you're not moving because it's not in alignment. Because when you are in alignment with something you love doing, you can't put it down. You are just thinking about it constantly. You want to get back to it. It's like that inner pull. I mean, I'm a generator, so maybe that has something to do with it too.
Well, I'm an MG, so I feel that.
Yeah. And it's just this pull that you're like, oh, okay, I want to go pick up this project right now and work on it. I don't care if I'm not paid for it. I think that's the key for me. I always think about is like, if I'm doing it and I don't even care about if I'm paid for it, I know it's a passion. It's like a deep passion for me.
100%. I mean, and really that's how I feel about coaching. You know, it's just like, I knew from the very beginning, it was so unexpected. So, you know, when she says like, how do I create a money portal? I mean, coaching became a money portal and I had no idea. I didn't seek it out. It happened and I felt lit up, and it's been successful because I'm continuing to follow something that lights me up. So for this person, I would, again, get super clear on what are your needs and how do you feel and what lights you up, and are you trying to force something because you feel like that's what you should be doing?
Okay, so this one is something for all of our well-versed members. I'm sure you guys totally understand the connection here, but for some of our listeners who maybe don't do this work or are just starting this work, how does understanding and knowing your past help you to raise your self-worth? So why do we have to go back into all of these childhood memories? And what is really the strong kind of value in understanding that?
Let's just start with, it is highly likely that your future will keep reflecting your past versus being entirely different unless you know what happened so that you can show up differently and make changes. And the only way to do that is to really understand how you got here, why you tick the way that you do, and why you react and where that began. Like we said, 88% of our mind is our subconscious. That's 0 to 7. 0 to 7 years old, we have no critical mind. Every single thing that is modeled to us, we take as fact. Our critical mind develops around 8 or 9. That's when we start problem solving. We're still insecure at that time. That goes through our teenage years. So this is the base level that we're working with. So unless you grew up, and listen, even people with the most idyllic childhoods, they still have relationships being modeled to them or limitations on what they can do based on whether or not their mother or father had a job, what their financial status was. So these things continue to show up in our lives. So we really have to be able to look at where we are now and what we want, then see what insecurities we have around that, so we can then go back and give ourselves the things that we needed so we can be coming from a whole place.
Woo, absolutely. I totally agree, Atara. And I want to add that it also is just such a beautiful, grand, courageous way to like face our shame. And I think a lot of our past experiences, our current experiences, we don't want to face because there's a lot of shame around maybe what we did, what we don't have, who we want to be, that we're not there yet. And then that doesn't allow us to go back into our past and like truly understand where it comes from. So really digging deep, whether that's even going into an inner child and being like, wow, I get it. Like, that's the loop that I'm on, you know, and it's not my fault. And I have the opportunity to create the future from my current vantage point. And with every breath that I take, and that I am owning and facing whatever that shame I've been looping on for so long, and really having it change your life and like know that you can. And it all starts with going back to like, how did it start for you? And recite a new story. And we can't do that if we're not looking back and not holding on to it. You know, our past isn't our reference point, but really understanding it and healing that in order to move forward.
First of all, I love everything that you guys just said. I just want to throw it back to the Bruce Lipton podcast that we had on the Expanded podcast recently, when he said, if you're, you know, you're trying to call in something or manifest something, but you're not manifesting from your desires, you're manifesting from that subconscious belief. So that's why it's so important, because I think he said, and I know Atara said this too, like 0 to 7, you're just straight recording. And that's programming your subconscious. So you have to look at what that programming was, what you were recording, so you understand what you're operating from, so that you can start operating from where you want to be.
Yeah, it's almost like you can't strong arm your blueprint. Like, if you don't look at the map and the blueprint that created you, you have to go to the roots, you have to go to the foundation and be like, oh, this is why this house is breaking down. The pipes are leaky down here, or, you know, the wood's cracked. Like, you really have to get into the structure of who you are to start elevating to those next levels. And it's hard work, and it feels awesome when you discover a new block or root or patterning. It is like such a cool light bulb moment. You're like, whoa, like so many things line up and light up in your brain because you're connecting it all at the same time. So it's just, it's powerful stuff.
I agree.
And can I just hop on and circle back to something? Because something Amanda said a few questions ago is super related to this as well. Because so many people are so avoidant when it comes to doing the unblocking, right? Because they're afraid of what's going to come up, or they have that shame around having magnetic parents, right? And so just to explain, it's not a scary thing, because this work in no way is about going back and figuring this stuff out so you can blame someone, or that so you can be angry toward them, right? And I think that's a big misconception with inner child work. This is literally making you understand what your block is, so you can go into those DIs and you can give yourself everything that you needed then, so that you can be everything that you want to be now. It has nothing to do with who your parents are now, who they were then. It's about you and really going in and, as Jess said, being able to actually edit that blueprint yourself and make the renovations that you need to, so that you can be operating from that place.
Absolutely. When I talk to my clients about that, I also always say, because, you know, a lot of people get caught up in justifying the behavior of parents from that guilt place that you're just talking about, Atara. And I'm always like, the reality of what happened isn't that important. What's important is your perception of what was going on, because that's what's in the subconscious. So you don't need to really worry about the dad, and he doesn't need to feel bad about that. Like, your perception of what happened may be different than the reality, but the perception is where you're operating from now. So that's what we have to look at and heal, so that you can stop operating there.
Definitely.
Okay, and an ending note for all of you. So what are you guys looking forward to in 2021? Let's vision hold some positive, magnetic selves looking forward. What are you guys looking forward to in the next year?
Well, I am really looking forward to, and I hope, I'm crossing my fingers that this can happen. I've been wanting to move to Paris for a couple months to study French, and I was supposed to come or go this year, but obviously COVID happened, so I could not. So I would really love if next, you know, end of summer, that was available again and I could go to Paris and spend some time studying French and just being Parisian and walking along the Seine and all of that beautiful stuff.
Very cool. How exciting. And Sawa, what about you?
2021, I'm really calling in the year of being just too much and really embracing my Leo energy. Honestly, I just think that I have played small in a lot of ways and like course, the high functioning people pleaser. Am I saying the right thing? Do I know enough to say this? Or do I whatever that pattern is. And I'm just like, F it. Like 2021 is going to be the year that Salwa speaks up. I'm going to be heard, and not in a like bulldozing even kind of way, but also surrendering into how it looks like authentically for me. And that's mine and mine alone. And it's not to be mimicked by anyone. It's just me. And I'm really excited and to dive into that.
Love that. So exciting.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah, I just have to say, and while I'm so sympathetic, listen, this year has been very personally hard for me. This job literally like saved me from God knows what could have happened. You know, my husband was diagnosed with cancer twice this year. He lost his job. We just got hit so hard. And I just really leaned into doing this work. And I found so much clarity in who I am in a way that I never thought existed. And so much purpose that's so much greater than just even beyond music. And all of that is going to go into my 2021. I'm just halfway through a program to become a certified hypnotherapist. So I'm really excited to be able to integrate that within this work and sessions. And I'm working on a book, and I've called in a bunch of expanders around that, and just have a bunch of music that I feel so connected to that I'm going to release. And I'm really just going to make, not waiting for 2021, I'm literally in the actionable steps now, just letting this be my time to fully open myself up and share everything that I've been holding on to my whole life.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I can't wait to read the book.
Same.
So exciting.
So in 2021, I am calling in ease. I don't do New Year's resolutions. I pick a word for the year, intentions. So for 2020, my intention was trust. I really wanted to build trust with myself. And it's something I work on every single day. And so in 2021, this is really about ease for me. It's about stepping in more into the feminine, into the pause, and into the receiving. You know, I've had years of putting in the work. I've had years of abundance. This year was all around trust. And next year, I really want to sit in the ease. I've actually put ease into my authentic code so I can constantly look at it and make sure that the idea for me is letting go of control. So, you know, another word could be surrender, essentially, not trying to force anything. This is really about checking in and making sure that everything that I need feels like it's coming in with ease. So it isn't necessarily like a tangible item. It's a feeling. And I'm looking forward to what that looks like and what it feels like.
Love it. Yeah. And I think for mine, really piggybacking off of Heather, and I remember talking about this with Heather and Salwa not that long ago. And Heather, I really just love that concept of ease. And I think ease is really something I also am looking forward to. And it's so interesting because I think these words can really be defined to each individual so differently. And I love how you're defining it, Heather. And for me, ease is looking to this next year, relinquishing the control that stuff's going to come up, shit's going to happen, things are going to, you know, not go as planned, and to really release the need for everything to be so controlled and just go into the flow. Like, okay, we're doing this, we're going to do this, I'm going to try this out, let's test this out, you know, and really lean into that ease. I just keep visioning like river rafting when you're just on the raft and you're just like, all right, like you can't stop the river. It's going to go. And it's a way more enjoyable ride if you just let your body relax and just be guided with the waves instead of trying to tighten and fight them. So a lot of that energy in the next year.
I love that so much.
Yay. Well, thank you guys so much for this episode. It was so expansive and just so eye-opening. And I always get so many lessons and notes while listening to all of you. You're so intelligent and so much wisdom to share on this work and beyond. And I'm just very thankful and grateful for you guys.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I just want to say, and I'm sure this is for all of us, I am so grateful for the fact that we're in this position and we get to
talk about these things that we're also deeply passionate about. So thanks for having us here, Jessica.
Oh, of course. Yes. I love it's like so exciting. We get to talk about this stuff like all day long.
I know.
Like I do it for a job. That's amazing.
I know.
I did it anyways before. Yeah,
exactly. I know. I'm always like, I get paid to just talk about the things that I geek out on.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
So awesome. Vision holders. Vision holders. Well, have a wonderful holiday season, everyone, and we will be back in 2021.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for tuning into the episode, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, we did. And in case you're not totally ready to join the pathway yet, I wanted to share a few of our free offerings that I'll often suggest to people as a little bit of a blueprint to get them started on their manifestation journey. The first place I like to direct people completely for free is The Motivation. You can see it linked below or on our homepage as our testimony library. And it's categorized by different subjects, whether you're calling in career, money, love, wellness, and much more. When you're reading about a member's experience of what they manifested, you're actually seeing to believe and showing your subconscious that that very thing is possible for you. The second place I like to direct people is to the free clarity exercise, which is also linked below. In it, you get to try our own unique hypnosis process, learn about the science, and some journaling prompts. And the best part about this, you'll get a tiny taste of what it's like to go into your hypnotic state, bring your subconscious forward, and create new neural pathways while receiving clarity. And the third thing, if you haven't listened to it on this podcast yet, please go back to the episode titled Manifestation 101, where you'll learn the basics of neural manifestation to truly understand this process. So go ahead and check out those free resources, The Motivation, the free clarity exercise, and the episode Manifestation 101, all linked below. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.